Lord, we're different ages in church this morning, and this story is so familiar. We ask that you'd make it live to us in a fresh way this day. For Jesus' sake. Amen. But when Jesus comes, what might you expect? It wasn't quite as you might have thought or guessed. In our reading, girls and boys, adults, Jesus arrives as God's promised king, and he's quite clearly in control. He was clear where he was going. He'd always been quite secret before about who he was, but suddenly he rides into Jerusalem that last week on a donkey. More about that in a moment. But he was in control. He knew exactly, either by prior arrangement or by divine knowledge, looking ahead, where that animal was to be found. And do you know, everybody here, please, but actually, Jesus knows. He knows all about what's going on. I went to see a man in hospital who's younger than me the other week. He's very unwell. He's got young children, unlikely to be alive at Christmas. And actually, speaking with him and praying with him, there's a deep sense in this young dad and father's life that he knew who was in control. And perhaps for us, we need to know who's in control. And the good thing is, whatever our age, that Jesus is in control. Now, how might you expect a king to arrive? Let's have some ideas shouted out. How might a king arrive? Or a monarch? Sorry? How extraordinary, a carriage. Here we are. A glorious carriage. There you are, singers, musicians. A wonderful carriage. Have you ever seen that carriage at a distance? I certainly stood by the mall once or twice when I was living in London and seen carriages like this go down. It weighs how many tons, do you know? 4 tons. It's very uncomfy. Andy, you can take that back. It's just shaping it back. I can't see. A wonderful. You might expect, like a Majesty the Queen, to arrive in a golden carriage. How else might you expect a monarch to arrive? A fanfare. And I haven't got a trumpet with me, and I should have thought about that. But very often, if you go to a formal dinner, a fanfare is played from a gallery in, say, one of the big halls in London, and the monarch comes in. How else might a monarch arrive? A sedan chair. Yes, if you're Oriental, you might well come by sedan chair, I suppose. I've never tried one of those. Other ways you might arrive? Jet. It might be by aeroplane. Just think about this example. Have you ever seen this car around? And that thing on the roof, that is it a minicab? What is that for, that sign? It's a Royal Standard, and that's actually a picture, minus number plates, I think, of Her Majesty's prime car she uses. You might expect her to come in a very super Bentley. Bentley seems to be the sort of choice rather than Rolls-Royce. John, just take on back and give Annie another one in a minute. How else might a monarch arrive? Horse, yes, certainly the monarch does arrive on some formal things, on military parades, on a horse. How else might a monarch arrive? How extraordinary, absolutely right, a helicopter. I've got a helicopter somewhere here, so slightly out of order. But here is the future monarch, Prince Charles, with his younger son, Prince Harry, and they're arriving by helicopter. And indeed, thanks, I'll take one down. Princess Anne arrived at Crazes Hill a few years ago, and I knew about this, as one or two other people perhaps here in church, all prearranged, and Princess Anne came down to Crazes Hill in a helicopter, landed gently, and it was a terrific din, but she came to do a visit up in Crazes Hill. Might come by helicopter. How else might you come? Parachute? You could try that, yes. Boat! Thank you very much. You could come by boat. And very sadly, we're cutting back a bit with the list to supply the Queen, but that is the royal yacht, which, of all places, has ended up at a hotel in Glasgow. I can't imagine a worse place for a royal yacht to be, but take that one back. You might expect the king to come in all sorts of special ways, perhaps in a car with the royal insignia on top, perhaps by helicopter like in Crazy Hill, perhaps in a golden carriage. You wouldn't expect the monarch to come in a car like Andy Ferguson's, would you? You recognise that one? For those who don't remember, this is Del Boy's car. And Del Boy, you may remember, ran a rather sort of dodgy business just down in Peckham. Anybody hear from Peckham? Nothing wrong with Peckham at all, but Peckham has for some reason got that reputation. And on his little van, it had on it independent training trotters, New York, Paris, Peckham. And great. And did you take your, you have one of these garages?
I had one of those, actually.
Really? Right. Well, you might expect. Just here, from Connecticut. Well, that's Del Boy's car. But actually, the Prime Minister normally drives around, I think nowadays, in a very heavy 4-tonned armoured plate. I think it's a Jaguar, isn't it? It's extraordinary that the carriage and that particular vehicle are the same weight with the armour plating on it. And I suspect the President of the United States has an even heavier and thicker car against attack. But actually, how did Jesus arrive in our story? Thank you very much. He arrived, yes, on a donkey. And here's a picture I'll come back to in a minute. It's an aerial view of a donkey with a foal. But we'll come back in a minute, this particular picture. You see, we had quoted, and John began with a verse from Zechariah. Say to the daughter of Zion, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. That, girls and boys, was written 550 years, said 550 years before Jesus. And when Zechariah said, oh dear, it was such a terrible time. You make a groaning noise. Oh, it was a terrible time in Zechariah's day. Oh, they'd been in exile, they'd had their temple destroyed, everything was a mess. People were all over, not just the country, around the Middle East, who were Jewish people. And yet, Jesus deliberately fulfilled Zechariah, which promised a king of a line of David who was going to be a great rescuer, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. You see, the first part of our story is all about a donkey. Jesus came on a donkey. Now, I want to get you all thinking again. It shows my age, doesn't it? Which of you ladies like Sean Connery? Oh, lots of hands going up. Jane Batting's hand isn't going up, but everyone else is easily. Sean Connery has acted all sorts of plays. I want to say one word to you, and then you shout out other words which you think of to do with this. If I was to say to you, Robin Hood, what might you say? Sherwood Forest. Yes? Maid Marian. Little John, Friar Tuck, no resemblance, I hope, to me, to Friar Tuck. Sheriff of Nottingham, thank you very much. And there's somebody you haven't mentioned, the Band of Merry Men, but also somebody else you've not mentioned, who's in that great film with Sean Connery. Not Friar Tuck, no. No. Let's go back here, there's a few more children back here. Who comes back from an overseas trip Richard, thank you, Richard of a lion heart. Thank you very much. And King Richard comes back from where he's been, and he's surrounded by who? Who's with him on horses? Right, and they're enormous chargers, massive horses, and in their shimmering armour. They came as the conquerors to sort the problem out. But an even bigger conqueror was Jesus. And he came humbly on the donkey, a foal of a donkey. That's how the true king of world history arrived in the city the week before he died. And he was humble. He said, "Take my yoke upon you, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls." And Jesus can ride to a certain death on a donkey because he's in control. He knows what's going on. He's come to give his life as a ransom for many. Now, what happens in the town? Let's see who's listening. Children, young people? Are there lots of children away here, something? But what happens? What do the crowds do in Jerusalem? Cheer him. And they, I think the technical word is they acclaim him. And that all goes back to, so it still happens at a coronation in England. But in 973 AD, following on from Jesus being acclaimed, King Edgar was acclaimed. Who goes? This is the crowd here. What happens at a stadium? What happens in the surrounding crowd? I've been to Chelsea football ground lots of years past, but what happens in the stadium? And the reaction in the stadium depends on what's happening on the field, doesn't it? And here's this king arriving on a donkey, and the crowds go wild. They think, this could be the promised king who's arriving, who's come. And yet he comes on a simple donkey. What do they do? What do they throw down on the ground? Yeah, we're told in John's Gospel it's palms. We're simply told in Matthew, Mark and Luke that it's branches cut off. And Jesus gets onto that donkey and he goes on his last journey. And they cheer him, they shout, "Hosanna!" I mean, save now, rescue now. But here's my last picture. And I saw something very similar myself when I was in the Middle East in January. I was on a hillside overlooking Jerusalem. Going down, I could see donkeys beneath me being led and some people on them. And if you look at a donkey from above, have you seen what's on their back? Have you ever noticed that? I think they're... once had particularly marked crosses, they're called Jerusalem donkeys. It's a good reminder to us, isn't it, that Jesus came to that city on a donkey, and actually beneath the cloth there was the sign of the cross, because he came not to be a victor like a general or a king who fought great battles. No, he came to die for us on the cross. And the cross is there. Do you want to take this back, Andy? Or John Peter? On the cross. See, God's king had arrived in God's city. And we're going to think on Good Friday that he went to the cross for you and I. He was a humble king. And the crowd asked a question at the end, which Andy read out. But what was the question they asked? What was the question? End of our reading, last verse.
Who is this?
Who is this? Thank you. They asked, who is this? And they said, he's a prophet. Now that doesn't mean a prophet like a prophet in the past. That was a proper title. Back in Deuteronomy, at the end of time, we're promised a prophet like the great leader Moses. They're saying, here's the one who was promised like the great leader Moses, the new Moses, who's going to bring us freedom. Our king, girls and boys, adults, arrived not like trotters independent trading, not a royal yacht, not in the sovereign's vehicle, not by helicopter, not in a golden carriage. He came on a donkey to fulfill the Old Testament. Here was the coming Christ, the coming King. Here was the one who was to die in our place, taking the sins of the world. Let's be quiet and thank Jesus for that. Lord, help us to understand and help us to take it in that you, the sinless Son of God, should die to take away each of our sin. Make that truth, make that fact live to us more and more as girls and boys, as adults, as families, and as a church, we pray. Amen.